Wow, it's great to be here. Wow, what a bunch of beautiful smiling faces. Isn't it wonderful to be a part of the family of God? I get pretty excited about myself. Thanks to our techie here, we're going to get up and running in a few seconds. I usually come a half hour early and it's all working perfectly, but when it's dormant like this, I guess she just doesn't like it, doesn't appreciate that I put it to sleep. So I'm just taking a few seconds here. So we'll go back to emails, we'll go back to Roy. I enjoy your emails, Roy, every week. Even though I'm not here every week, I certainly enjoy coming and following along with you. So you're joining. Okay, here we're coming. Allow. Voila, join again. Hi, there I am. Yes. Hello, all you people out in Zoom land. Good. You're on mute. I'm supposed to be on mute, I believe. And we're going to share the screen. Oh, this is working today. Thank you, Roy. I love Roy. He's one of my best friends. We're doing a series as the people who have come here all the time, we're doing a series, and it's on animals. And I'm enjoying doing it because it's all new to me. Even though I've been preaching for over 50 years, there's so much new, so many new things. Nothing new in the Bible. It's all been there all this time. It's new to me. And as you grow older, we'll stop there. God reveals different things, and it's just wonderful to be able to preach the Word of God and teach the Word of God. So I'm sharing. There we go. Okay, put that down here. A lot of people ask, well, how do you prepare the messages how do you come up with the messages? First you pray. Before I prepare a message, I pray. And I pray and I pray and I pray because I don't want to just blah, blah, blah. We hear blah, blah, blah over the television and internet and so on all the time. And I just don't want another blah, blah, blah. So I pray. And then what I do a lot of times, the Lord reveals a scripture or a subject, and then what I do is, what I start from there is I read the scriptures that the Lord has put on my heart or the subject, and I'll read it in français. Porque je parle français, and I read it in two or three translations in Spanish because the words are sometimes different. The meaning's the same. It's just that with my limited vocabulary in English, I read it in French. Je parle français, je parle espagnol. And then after that, I do something that some people question, and I read commentaries. I enjoy some commentaries. Well, you got to be careful. Ojo, who are you reading? Now, I'm going to quote, for instance, you're wondering what I'm going to speak about. Well, I've already spoken about eagles here, And I also spoke about ants. I got in trouble after that because I was going like this for the ants. And then after the deacons came up to me and said, we don't have any ants here. No, I'm only kidding. But we talked about ants. We had a good time there, I hope. Then we talked about some lions. I didn't act out any lions. And we talked about some snakes. Today we're going to talk about this morning, locusts. 28 to 30 times in the Bible, locust is mentioned. So why is it in the Bible? There must be some teaching. There must be some advantages of reading about it and studying about it. Well, I've never really done it. I've read about, remember Egypt, the locusts? But it's very interesting that what I did this time was I read what Dr. Jeremiah. Now, please be careful what you read. Maybe I shouldn't do this publicly, but I'm going to share something that Dr. Jeremiah taught me. And Dr. Jeremiah teaches that biblical locusts represent both devastating physical judgment, vast judgment from God in prophetic books like Revelation, symbolizes the demonic torment of mass armies. He interprets these passages to explain God's plan and his promise of ultimate restoration. So that's what he says. That's not necessarily what the Bible says. This is the best thing. And I'm not putting this down. And so then what I did is I went and saw what John Piper said. John Piper views locusts in the Bible primarily as literal instruments of God, sovereign judgment sent to wake people up. He points to the book of Joel where a massive locust swarm in God's discipline on Israel for their half-hearted love. Piper teaches that God will fight against his own people to bring them to repentance and secure their undivided allegiance. One more, just as an example, one more, and that was John MacArthur. John MacArthur says, teaches that locust generally represents literally terrifying judgment from God. He rejects viewing them as a man-made weapon, taking the scriptures as literal. He identifies them in two main biblical contexts, the book of Joel and the book of Revelation. So I go through that, and I've got 10 or 15 good, reliable books and that I read and so on. But what does God want for us here? What is the lessons of locusts in the Bible for us here in 16? Well, the text I'm going to be looking a little bit at is Joel chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, and then we're going to go over to Proverbs chapter 30, verse 27. Those are the two main scriptures that the Lord led me to look on. Locusts are mentioned many times in the Bible, as I said, between 28 to 30 times in the Bible. Sometimes they are instruments of judgment. Now, let's get that. That is biblical. God uses locusts as an instrument of judgment. Okay? You can take that to the bank. I don't know if you can say that expression. But anyway, sometimes illustrates of discipline. Discipline. And sometimes examples of unity and wisdom. And we're going to look at these because there's a message for 16 here. And you are 16. This is not 16. This is just a building. I could talk to that building a million times, hours on hours, and won't teach the building nothing. But these lessons are for us from the scriptures. And we're going to get these small creatures, they teach us great spiritual truth. Sometimes we talk on these animals, and I have done what is now 17 messages different on different animals, and some of them are pretty small. And locust is relatively small also. So what lessons can we take? Well, I'm going to do it in three ways, very quickly. I only have 10, 15, 11 minutes. The plague, partnership, and purpose. What is the plagues to do with us in 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel? What is the partnership? What are they referring? How can we apply this to our partnership here? And what is the purpose of the locust? The plagues. Sin always consumes more than we expect. That's the first lesson I learned in that. I mean, like locusts, we're going to see that they eat everything. They come in swarms, and they go in and they eat everything. You know, sin also does the same thing. Sin consumes us, takes over us. What the locust swarm has left, the great locust has eaten. They devour everything. There's nothing left. The locust comes in waves, like that, waves, stripping the land bare. Joel uses this devastation as a picture of the destruction effort of effects of sin and God's judgment. Sin is terrible. And that's why we as a community, this is why we as a church, this is why we as a hospital have to work together, pray together. And we're going to see that in the message. We've got to work together. I thank God for the local assembly. I was asked, because they think I speak three languages, I've been asked to go full-time with the Gideons and with Lighthouse Ministry. I was there 5 years, and with Billy Graham. And but anyway, all of these things. You know what? Why I didn't? Because I believe that what you're doing here at 16, at 10th Avenue, at Cascade Gospel Chapel, at Heather Bible Chapel, I believe that is God's institution. That's what God wants. And so I refused. I was ordered to offer some good money, but I said, no, thank you. I'll do a job for you. I'll do a project for you, but I ain't joining your organization. I'm a part of the family of God, and I want to help at Cascades Gospel Chapel and 16th Avenue and so on. And when we watch the locusts, we're going to see really what happened. That's what it looks like. Look at green. Isn't it beautiful? Oh, life is beautiful. But sin comes in our lives. And it destroys everything. It destroys our reputation. It destroys our name. It destroys everything. But now look what happens when the locusts come. Oh, what an ugly picture. What an ugly picture. And sin is ugly. And I'm not preaching to the choir right now, because we all are fighting against sin. And we're going to see from this message and the next message that we can only overcome sin by ourselves? No way, Jose. No way. We can only overcome it by God. The work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit in our lives, and working as a group, an assembly, a body. We're the body. Sure, I'm not the arms anymore. I used to be the arms in the body. I used to rake, make trenches. I used to work at the church, ground, cut grass. I can't do that. I'm not the arm anymore, but you, some of you are the arm. And each of us have a different job and a different thing. Now in Exodus chapter 10, verse 4, we have the Old Testament of the plagues. And of course, God sent locusts upon Egypt because Pharaoh hardened his heart. The locusts devoured everything left after the hailstorm. God used the locusts as a tool of judgment on Egypt. Persistent rebellion eventually brings consequences. That's talking to me. That's talking to a Christian. That's talking to a child of God. I'm born again, regenerated. But if I persist in doing things against the Lord, it brings consequences. It brings consequences. And there's consequences in my body today because I've done things wrong. I mean, for whom, yes. Left hip, right hip replaced, right knee replaced, open heart surgery. A lot of that was because of my own stupidity, because I didn't do what God. I can remember my elder saying, Ron, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't do that. And what did I say? So sin in your life and in my life brings consequences. See, I'm not one of those preachers going to stand up here and say, well, dear brothers and sisters, we have to be careful. No, I have to be careful. I've gone through it. I'm still going through it. I'm still fighting. The next message after this one, after coffee, is on the scorpion. And I was bit this week. The scorpion bit me. We won't go into that now, but remember, persistent rebellion against God, his will in your life will bring consequences. I want to give you an example. We have the example in the Old Testament of Egypt. Now in the New Testament, take about the prophet, take about the prodigal son. Think about the young man's inheritance, his dignity, his joy. He lost it all because he persisted. He went against God. He went against the voluntary of God. And all he had was miserable. He went down. And we'll do the same thing if we don't look up. Sin devours lives just as locusts devour crops. I hate sin, but Satan's always there. tempting. But you know, ask yourself, what locusts are eating away in my walk with God? What is in your life that's limiting you? What in your life is not giving you the blessing that you could have? What is in my life that I've given the joy, real joy, wonderful joy? What are in my life? What are the locusts? Yes, we're here, sitting here. We just had a wonderful time of worship. We're Christians. We're part of the family of God. But are there things in your life? Are there things in my life? Is there something consuming my spiritual effectiveness? 60 must guard against spiritual erosion. And that's why we have elders and deacons. We're going to be talking about that later on. But it's working together. We see a brother falling, dear brother. Just like Jesus when he put his hand out for Peter. Can I help you, brother? I see you're falling. You're having problem with this thing or that thing. Or you're doing this or you're doing that in love. Not, you shouldn't have done that. With love, care, joy. Go to them. People have gone to me in my life. My elders have done that many times. One unresolved problem can spread through the congregation. So work together. Leaders and members must deal with issues before they become infections. There's a problem? Nip it at it, bud. Remember that expression? Did it still use that in English? Nip it at the bud? No? Anyway, she's probably having trouble with that one. I shouldn't have used it. The plague of the locusts. Now the partnership of the locusts. Work together, accomplish what individuals cannot. There's so much that I cannot accomplish. I'm a part of Cascade Gospel Chapel. I'm not there. I'm only there once a month. But I'm a part of it. I do what I can to help them to advance the kingdom of God. Next week, I'm going to be 81 years old, and I'm going to be working with children in DVBS. Good. I don't know if it's good. Last year I did it, and that was rough. But I can't do other things anymore. They didn't ask me to leave the games. They just, one thing they asked me to do is make the barbecue. So I'm going to dress up as Gaucho. Takes a couple hours. Dress up as Gaucho. And I'm going to make a barbecue at the end of it for all the parents. We've got to work together. The locusts have no kings. And yet, they go forth, all of them, by bands. They work together. I like the word band, B-A-N-D-S. Different translations use different words, but band. Locusts have no visual leader, yet they move towards with unmarkable unity. Let's think a minute here.
Where's the Pope?
Pope!
See, there's no Pope here.
Okay, I mean, I'm not criticizing any group or another. I'm just saying, where's the Pope? There's no Pope. Where's the bishops? Bishop? Bishop? I'm talking about the position. Is we have bishops here, but I mean, they're not named with the capital B. Now, how about the rabbi? Any rabbis here? No? We don't have a king here, do we? We don't have a pastor, the most reverent so-and-so. But you know, the thing here is, yes, we do have elders and deacons, and that's what the Bible talks about. It's the plurality. It's the family. It's togetherness. It's unity. And that's just like the locust. We don't see anything in the Bible. Locust had a king or anything. They just, and they did their job. They did their job. Locus speaks of mystery, of unity and power. That's what it talks about. They have no leader and lack strength individually. Yet working in amazing unity, Locus demonstrates the mystery of unity and power. Wow. Unity. Do you read it? Roy, don't go to sleep there. No, he wasn't sleeping. He was looking down praying for the meeting, I'm sure. But see, he does this. And I look at it every week and I pray. And it's good. Now, Nehemiah built the wall. For the people had mind to work. Do you have a mind to work? Do you have a desire to encourage, to build up in this assembly? The locusts have worked together. Boom! And they had results for what they did. The wall was rebuilt because everybody worked together. And together here, we're going to see success. Now, the early church, for instance, believers were united in worship. They were united in fellowship. They were united in prayer. That's why we have prayer meetings here. I go to prayer every Wednesday at my local assembly. Monday morning, I spend an hour with a group for an hour and we pray. Saturday morning from 9 to 9:15, I'm in a Zoom prayer meeting. Why? Because I like prayer. No, I'm a mover. I'm a shaker. I don't want to just sit there, but it's necessary and it's effective. Prayer together and ministry. Unity multiplies effectiveness. One locus doesn't change. One person, there's no one here that can change what is being changed in this neighborhood and in the families around 16th. It's togetherness. It's that swarm of Christians, that nube, cloud of Christians working together, millions together, transport landscape. And dozens here will change the landscape. Likewise, one believer has influence. Likewise, one believer has influence, but a united assembly can transform a community. I pray for this community. God never intended Christians to serve alone. We aren't soldiers alone. There's no lone rangers. Remember that one? Hail Silva! No, you're all too young. But that was a lone ranger. He was a cowboy, yeah. He was always alone. Tonto was with him, but we need to have fellowship together, encouragement, accountability, cooperation. The challenge is, ask yourself, am I contribute to unity or division? Am I serving alone? Am I serving alongside others? 16th Avenue, here's the church, here's the assembly, here's a group of Christians. The healthy assembly functions as a body, not a collection of individuals, with members united around Christ's mission, ministry, flourishes, and communities are reached. I could go on and on, but I hope you got the pictures of locusts. I hope you got the challenge. This is a challenge for you because you're here at the Lord's Supper. You love Jesus. That's why you're here. And all of you up in Zoom land, I know you would like to be here, but keep praying, and we hope to see you back. I know health-wise, we can't always do what we want to do. And a lot of them, most of them, for one reason or another. And it's nice to see John here this morning. He lives in Swinigan, don't you know? Swinigan? Is that where you live? That's a long ways to come. But he needs the fellowship. I need the fellowship. You need the fellowship. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, thank you for the example of the locusts. Thank you, Heavenly Father, the lessons that we can glean from this message of the locusts. Help us, guide us, and use us. We pray for the upcoming DVBS, and we have so many other things to pray for. We thank you for the food downstairs and for the little locusts downstairs that put everything together so we'll have a good cup of coffee and tea and so on. Bless us, guide us, and use us, and bless this message we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless.